Now we are using this Friday meditation as a weekly dose to encourage us to regularly read the scriptures, and not only read but live our lives according to the scriptures by going through this long Psalm 119. I know we all live in a life of pressure. We live in a life filled with all kinds of fear and anxiety. Anxiety about our jobs, anxiety about our family, and failure, future. And sometimes our hearts are restless and we don't even know why I feel so restless, right? So as we come to this psalmist, the psalmist is telling us that we are not truly happy because we are not truly holy. Right? Can you imagine? This psalmist is telling us we have all those problems because we are not holy. Whether we believe it or not, he says all our fears, all our struggles and root cause for all that is we are not walking in the holy ways of God. So he attempts to teach us how to walk, and so he starts off with the first word saying, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Externally, these are the happiest people who walk undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Internally, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. And then he goes on and very clearly talks about a blessed lifestyle, right? There is a negative aspect where they, verse 3, they also do no iniquity, and there is a positive aspect, they walk in his ways. Now, having laid this foundation of a blessed life, he attempts to answer a question. Now, a question can, an objection can come up, right? How can we believe this psalmist? Out of all the 101 ways, out of so many ways, how can we believe that this psalmist is pointing us to the right way? What is the proof? What is the evidence, witness? Now, he enforces that foundation that he has laid by the authority of God. In a way, he states, this is the true blessed way, and I call God as a witness for this. That's what he does in verse 4. By the authority of the Creator, who knows what is best for us, what will make us very happy, and in a for greater emphasis and greater force, he actually directly appeals to God, right? In verse 4, and all of a sudden the psalm converts into a prayer, right? He was talking about blessedness, and look at verse 4, he directly appeals to God, and God's authority. He says in verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. How do we know that this is the blessed way? This is the most happiest way? Because the Creator God, who is good and who wants us to be happy, he has commanded us to keep his precepts diligently. I can, I can read this verse and then go on with to other verses, but my attempt has been in this study to drill down these verses deeply into our consciences, and we feel the power of those words in our life, right? And make it experiential, make these verses experiential to us. And that's why we take time and we break this into smaller parts so we can digest it and we can grasp it, and it becomes a part of our experience. So that's what we will attempt to do. There are two things we will look at in this verse. The way God gave us his word, God authoritatively commands. Secondly, the way we should obey his word. The way God gave us his word, he gave it with authority. The way we have to obey, the verse says, we have to diligently obey them. Okay? Diligently keep his precepts. So, let's look at the first part of the verse. He says, you have commanded us. Commanded us. God as creator, judge, lawgiver, He didn't allow us to live as we want, right? As creator, knowing what will be the, what will make us most happy, and as a judge by his authority, he has intervened in our life. You know, we may not want to be intervened. We may not want somebody to disrupt our life. We want to live with our sinful desires as, you know, life goes on. But he has intervened and he has commanded us. He's not left these commands as an arbitrary option. Okay, you want to be happy, just obey this. Or you can find some other way, shorter ways to be happy. No, no, no. He has commanded the way that leads to true blessedness. The word command implies authority attached to that, right? I can say something, you know, to somebody. But when I command something in my office, I use my position, I use my authority, and, you know, my authority is behind that command. And people have to obey or face consequences, right? So the word of God, even if it is given as a direction, we should regard it as coming from the all-wise God. But, you know, here we have to note God commands, this authority backs his words, right? And his sovereignty is behind his words. You know, I don't know if you've been stuck by reading Leviticus and Deuteronomy and other books of the law, you will find again and again, you know, you will do this, and even the simplest commands, right, you know, you will do this, you will eat, you will not eat this, you will eat this. And why? Why should we do this? Because I am the Lord. That's the only reason given. I am the Lord. And, you know, the sovereign authority of God backing all his commands. And as creatures created by him, it demands our utmost, we can say sometimes even blind obedience that is due to him. Because he is sovereignly authoritative and he has commanded. And when he has commanded, even though it is sometimes against our reason, against our lust, against our interest, it must be done. As creatures, we are created and we are found in a relationship under God's authority. And God's work is to command and our work is to obey. Right? So the rejection of the command of God is not only we defy, we renounce the sovereign, majestic authority of God. And, you know, even in our own hearts, we may not literally be doing that, but in our own hearts, we kind of dethrone him and we break out in open rebellion against him. Who is the Lord and why should I obey him? Every such act, you know, will be brought on the day of judgment and, you know, will be treated, you know, according to God's authority. Like I said, this is another disease that a sinful heart has, right? We are created as creatures and, you know, we have gone away from that place. What has sin done to us? We have left our creaturehood and we have, each one have gone on our own ways. Right? And then that there is a disease, there is a tumor again, that this kind of, this sinful heart, with this depraved heart, we think God's word is good advice, good direction. Right? We can use it and or ignore it if we don't, if it's not convenient. And a good thing to read when you are sad. Right? You can trace all the inconsistent lifestyle, all our hearts, you know, being on and off. And, you know, we keep telling people, I've been as a pastor preaching to people that you should pray in secret every day. You should meditate God's word. You should examine your heart. You should redeem your time. Be watchful about your temptation. All these commands, right? We're not giving these. These are commands of God. You should serve him. And people always think that is optional. They don't see it as a strict command from God, and disobeying that can have horrible consequences. No, that the pastor's job is to command. Our job is to just take it or leave it, right? And that's why we are so careless in our duties and so inconsistent in our life. All this can be traced back to this, right? We think it's an optional. I think there is a prejudice, there is a heart disease. We have to treat ourselves. I think the only way that we can be delivered from this kind of heart disease, you know, the depravity has caused so many problems in our heart. And this is one of them. We think God's word is optional. The way to be delivered from this disease, I think we have to be engaged in an exercise where we regularly teach a proud, naughty heart about the awesome, sovereign, majestic authority of God. God is authoritative over me. We say the word of God is authoritative and then, you know, we keep disobeying that. No. You know, we can just say it in our words and we can, but we, have we allowed that to influence our heart? Have we been struck? Have we been awestruck by the sovereign authority of God? The more our hearts are affected by this awesome authority of God, the more we will learn to obey God's word consistently. Okay? So, you know, he says, you have commanded us. The psalmist is saying, the word command, you know, the behind that word is the authority, sovereign authority of God. So, let me give you an exercise now. How can I train my heart? How can I teach my heart always to be awed by the authority of God? Right? Let me share a few thoughts and that, hello that, just listen, sit and listen. Allow your hearts to be affected by this, okay? And so that help, may God help us to see the sovereign authority of God. God is sovereign God. We know that, and he has authority over all his creatures. And as a lawgiver, as a judge who will judge us in providence, do you know there is a judgment that goes on in providence? Yes, there is a final judgment, but for everyone, where each person should be stationed, whether he should be blessed, whether he should be cursed, whether he should be chastised, all that judgment thing, you know, he is the judge who's judging everything, right? And he has given his commands. And command from such a sovereign God who's the Lord of providence, who's the Lord of creation, is not optional. It needs to be obeyed without fail. If we ignore that, we renounce the authority of God and we say, who is the Lord? Why should I obey? God has authority over us. He is the God of creation. He formed us in our mother's womb and the God of providence, and every moment of our life, whether it will be blessed or whether it will be cursed, depends on nobody but him. Not on our own skill, not on our bosses, not on circumstances. It depends on him who can overrule, who's the Lord of all. And how easily you and I try to please men. Think about it. You know, I was thinking about how we want to please men who have authority over us. Right? When we realize somebody has authority over us, take in a job situation. Right? Even sometimes we may not like what they're saying. But we agree to obey them, right? Against our own inclinations, because they have authority over us. And you know, how blind, you know, sometimes God has the greatest authority over us. So surely he has the right to command us, and he is the Lord of heaven and earth, and has all dominion. And he ordains every blessing, like I said, and every curse in our life, and we are dependent creatures upon him. Paul says we live, move and have. Can you imagine how dependent we are on him? We are able to live and move and have our being in him. We obey men, you know, fearing that they may do us something, right? You know, my boss may, you know, spoil my appraisal. So he has that authority. So we are worried not to offend him. And our jobs depend on him. And but do you understand, none of us can do the greatest harm than God can do. He can enforce such threatening, and at the same time he can reward us so marvelously than any human or any boss can do. Now in Matthew 10:26, Lord says, fear not men who can only touch your body. You know, apart from that they can't do anything more. See, men can threaten us with consequences, with physical, financial consequences, but you know, you have a God who can, you know, even those men cannot touch us without his permission, isn't it? But God, this God can attack our body with the diseases, with pain, with, he can attack even our soul. He can fill, in spite of having everything, he can fill our soul with confusion, turmoil and anguish. He has that authority. He can make our body and soul suffer here and even in hell with eternal torment. And oh, I was reading in Samuel, God wanted to punish Eli and his sons. You know what he does? He says, I will judge your house forever for the iniquity which, you know, he knows. His sons have become vile and he did not restrain them. Though he says that, you know, there will not be any sacrifice for atoning their sins because they have done it in the temple. They have done it with regards to the temple. And you know what he says? Horrible, horrible things. Your sons will die in the war. And all your generations going forward, nobody will live up to 25 years. And anybody who lives, they will either be handicapped, they will be mentally retarded. You know, that's anybody who crosses 25, that's, can you imagine all the generations of Eli, till he has any descendants on this earth, can you imagine what a curse that can be? Do we realize the authority of God on our lives? You know, we obey men's authority because they will reward us. We all want to please, right, and obey the most powerful and the rich person. You know, my manager says something, you know, yeah, I will obey him. But imagine my CEO says something. Night and day I will want to finish up whatever he's saying. You know, who can promise us more than God? Right? And it says he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Who can bless us more spiritually and physically than God? He can enlarge and increase the capacity for us to experience more unspeakable joy, more peace, more blessedness in this life. It is he alone who can expand the capacity of our soul. He can fill us with the fullness of God, satisfies us fully in this life and the next. And the psalmist says, he has commanded us. How do we treat the authority of God in those commands? And you know, that's our life here and the next depends on how we treat His commands, right? And we sometimes want to ignore God's meant command, you know, because they don't see us, right? And they, my boss doesn't see us, you know. Something I don't like, he's not watching, you know, so let's ignore him. But the scripture says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and good. He takes keen notice as to how we treat His commands. Because His whole sovereign authority, His throne stands behind His command, His credibility, His veracity. All our future is ordained based on how we treat His commands. And he's given us terrible examples of people who take his commands lightly. Aaron's sons that were dead. Uzzah dead on the spot. Achan with his family, and they were buried alive. And you know, there are many, many. So I think when we think about God's command, we should develop in our hearts, meditate about all these things and somehow have an awe. No, stir ourselves and have an awe in our hearts about how great God is and what authority He has over me. Everything, you know, whether I'm going to be blessed or whether I'm going to be chastised depends on Him. He is the one who ordains every day of my life. Today, am I going to be happy? Am I going to be sad? Am I going to be miserable? It depends on Him. Right? And scripture says that God's, first of all, His authority. And think about the reasonableness of His command. They are, you know, Romans 7:12 says, the commandment is holy, just and good. John says, it's not burdensome. It's the law of liberty. And it's very, very profitable. Deuteronomy says, the statutes which I command you are for your utmost good. You will want, I want you to enjoy life to the fullest. And that's why I'm giving you these commands. The command of your good. So So our life was not misspent. We don't waste our life. I was thinking, if sin has not blinded us and corrupted our hearts, I think if there are 101 ways to lead our life, if sin has not affected our mind and heart, we would happily, voluntarily, always choose the God's way. No other way. Because we will see the reasonableness, the wonderful goodness and the blessed way. Right? This is the life that will bring me the utmost happiness. Constant joy and the happiest way is to live purely, live according to God's word. Because historically, and you know, if you know the history, nobody who has lived against God, against God's law, sinfully, has ever been able to live happily for a continuing time, right? And Bible says, compared to all the pleasures that God can give, the pleasures of sin are the fleeting, fleeting. You know, we don't even know how it goes. It just passes on like this. That's what all the pleasures of sin are. And then God takes it very seriously when we ignore His command. You remember David, I think one of the great accusations Nathan brought is, because you have despised the word of the Lord, all this will happen to you. The sword will not depart from your house. And, you know, because, and the accusation was, you have despised the word of the Lord. God counts the authority, you know, when we take it lightly, you know, whatever our mouth may say, whatever we may praise, but you know, by our heart we show that we don't have any sense of God's authority over our life when we take His commands lightly. Oh, how we all need to, I think, develop in our own selves by our meditation, by regular thinking, an awe of God's authority, what God can do in our life. He's the one who has all authority over me. We need to, that sense of God's awfulness, the authority of God in my life, I think will be a wonderful check on our proud hearts. If we can maintain serious thoughts about the sovereign majesty of God, how glorious He is, how majestic He is, how authoritative He is over us, I think that will be a great check in our heart, right? I think the more a man learns to press his, you know, sometimes our heart is so naughty. It doesn't listen to us, right? You know, sometimes we don't want to obey God and we don't want to pray, we don't want to read, and, you know, it acts naughty sometimes. I think with the sense of authority of God, we will be more obedient, right? God has told us many a times, you know, you should not neglect the means of grace. You should redeem your time. Now, then, you know, we will not neglect those commands. And God has, the God with such authority, the sovereign God has told me not to, you know, has told me to redeem my time. How can I be so careless? How can I waste my precious hours? And the God of sovereign authority has told me to read His word. How can I give foolish excuses and expect God to bless me? I'm defying the command of God. Right? Those things will become very serious for us. Proverbs 13:13 says, he that fears the commandment, he shall be blessed. Very interesting verse. It doesn't say he shall fear the consequence of disobedience. No. Not about the penalty, not about the consequence, but the command itself needs to be feared. Because the sovereign authority of God is behind that command. And somebody said, the heart is never right until we are brought to fear the commandment more than the consequences or the inconveniences that the command may cause. Right? So we need to have a healthy fear of the command of God. And you know, so there are many, many benefits when we have that kind of sense, right? When we have that kind of awe on the commandment. Let me point out, like I said, we are affected by many natural prejudices, and this will help us to overcome. That's why our life is so inconsistent. We pray for a week, we read the Bible for 2 weeks regularly, and then we just ignore. Why? Many a times we are doubtful about the rewards of obeying, right? we obey for a week and, you know, we don't sense any benefit and we pray and don't see anything changing and, you know, we read and nothing changes, so stop. But when you have this sense of God's authority that will guard us against those discouragement, it is the command of God and I will obey whether I feel it or I don't feel it. Whether nothing sensibly comes or nothing comes, I will stick at the command of God just because God has commanded me. You understand how beneficial? And sometimes, you know, we have these fleshly lusts and the sinful things that, you know, drag us. It is not easy to overcome besetting sins at when we are weak. And it is, God commands us, you know, positive, do not worry. And He commands that we should rejoice always. When our, how can we obey all those commands? When we are bound by that sense of the awesomeness of the authority of God, right? I think we will begin to say, yes, I cannot pray, but this awesome authority of God will bend our hearts to obey that. It's not a matter of convenience. It's not whether the comfort, but God is to be obeyed, right? And He's worthy to be obeyed. And He has all authority. So when your heart backslides from obeying God, let me encourage you to urge the authority of God, the awesome. Think about how glorious, how authoritative God is over you. And think of the heinous nature of disobeying Him. What is sin? Transgression of the commandment, right? Transgression of the law. It's because it is such a sin, it's a contempt that we show to the authority of God. Somebody said it's unlording the Lord, putting Him out of the throne. And every sin is why it is so horrible? Because it is an affront to the authority of God. It is despising the commandment of God. We kind of rise up against this authority. Why should I obey? Every sin, you know, is like that. So I think the more we allow our hearts to be affected by the awesome authority of God. He is the Lord. He has authority over me. And we keep that sense fresh. As long as we can keep that fresh and how great our God is, I think it will help us to obey Him. Right? Like Joseph said, when he was tempted and everything in his being said, everything in his circumstance, you know, was conducive to sin and he should have sinned. What did stop him? How can I do this great wickedness against my God? Right? So much for the first word, the command. God gave us His word by authoritatively commanding us. Obedience is never right. Somebody said this. Obedience is never right when it is done out of conscience of God's authority. Okay? Until it is done out of conscience of God's authority. Okay, so the way God gave us His word, God authoritatively commands. Secondly, the way God, when we realize that God has authoritatively commanded, the way we should obey His word, look at what that verse says, we to keep your precepts diligently. Diligently. See, we should not only do what God commands, but we should do it diligently. Not only what we do, but how we do also matters. God not only has told us to obey Him, not only told us to serve Him, but serve Him with all our heart and maximum efforts in all circumstances. That's why, you know, this is the view these men had, these apostles had. Paul, for example, says, why do I run? Not for time pass, I run that I may obtain the prize. It's not only a duty to run, but not run carelessly, just I want to participate for fun. No, we have to run earnestly. And so many commands in the Bible, and I confession, you know, when we're reading about the confession about the worship, there are so many words used for how we do it. Romans 12:11, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not only just serving the Lord, but you should be burning hot. Your affection should be so hot that it should be boiling over. The effectual prayer. What does those words mean? Not only prayer is required, but there needs to be fervency, diligence. Not a dead drowsy devotion. No, not only we should hear, Luke 7:18 says, take heed how we hear. We should hear it with seriousness. We should hear the word of God with reverence. And Acts 26:7 says, the 12 tribes served the Lord instantly, day and night, with their utmost extension of their strength. That's one translation. Very interesting. Utmost extension of their strength. This is because God, who gives us the command, not only sees our outward actions, right? If our boss, you know, if boss sees me obeying me, but he doesn't recognize how I'm doing it in my heart, right? I may be cursing him. But the Lord sees our heart and spirit. The ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs our spirit. He weighs every action that we do. He considers, you know, not how much we do, you know, or what we do. It's also important how we do it. Right? So it's very important how we do it. And we should do it diligently. Diligently. You know, think about the other religions. There are people in wrong religion, superstition. How earnest. It's amazing how fervent they are. Take, for example, Muslims. And, you know, all... See, you can go as fast as you want, but if you are in a wrong road, there is no use, right? They are so diligent in the wrong road. We are in the right road. Shouldn't we be diligent? Shouldn't we be very diligent in obeying God? Somebody who is diligent in business, what does it mean? He is very diligent in his business. He is very careful. He wakes up early in the morning. He goes to sleep late in the night. He denies a lot of comforts. He denies his rest. And he's not tired. And he's very diligent. And that's how we should serve the Lord. You know, we have to persevere. Sometimes even with aching body, with tired eyes, we should continue. Do you serve the Lord like that? Ask yourself. That's what first of all, the Lord has commanded us. And to keep his precepts. How? Diligently. And I think we rarely find men doing that, right? Rarely find men and women serving the Lord diligently. And that's why a lot of people miss this double blessedness coming from this psalm. And what a lesson for us, people who are very comfortable in a mediocre, lukewarm kind of Christianity. We are happy to just do the duty. I have come to church today, I'm happy. Do it for the sake of it. And we are happy. I prayed today. I'm singing. But God sees the manner we do it. Do we sing it with all our heart? I keep complaining and sometimes rebuking the Tamil service. You know, sometimes it's so drowsy, your singing. Look at it. We have to sing it diligently. We need to rise ourselves. We need to stir ourselves to serve the Lord diligently. Joshua, that's why probably he said to Israelites, you cannot serve the Lord because he is a jealous God. He sees not only what you do, but how you do it. The Corinthians, they kept the communion. What did the Lord do? Right? Many of them died. And it's such a dishonor to God to do something carelessly and negligently. You know why? Because he's a sovereign God. When we obey him, we have to obey him from the heart. Or it's like following my boss, right? Okay, because he said I'm going to do it, but you know, I hate doing this. In our heart, we're just doing it outwardly, hypocritically, but in our heart, we hate his sovereignty. Oh, I don't like to do this. And I don't like this way to be commanded. I want to do what I want. And because the Lord has commanded, I have to do this. And we do it very carelessly, forcibly. What do we display? We show a hatred towards God's authority and his sovereignty. What does that kind of service do to God? Malachi 1:14, he says, cursed be the deceiver, hypocrite, who sacrificed to me a corrupt thing. You know the reason why, what reason he gives? For I am a great king, saith the Lord. I think implied in that is this kind of service lessens my majesty. It's a sign that we have cheap thoughts about God, that our hearts are not affected with the awesome majesty and the authority of God. The law says, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. Lessening of that, you know, when we lessen that, it shows that we don't have the right thoughts about God. We are lessening His excellency. To keep your precepts diligently. To keep. The word again, the keep is to, something is given to our trust and we have to keep. Okay, I think, let me conclude with an application. This teaches us whatever we do for the great God, we should do it with all our might. All our might. We should strive to keep the God's command with the diligence. So, we've learned in this verse, the way God gave us His word is He authoritatively commands. You have commanded us. His whole authority stands behind that. It's not an option. The God who has authority over you has commanded us, and how you treat His commands, you know, is directly related to how you treat God. And why has He given this command? How should we treat? What is the right way to treat? We have to keep your commands diligently. May God help us to obey this. Let's pray.